Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we are, another Holy Week. Once more, we focus our thoughts on the events from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to his resurrection. We recall once more his suffering and death for us. Perhaps at no other time in the church year do we feel ourselves more in continuity with those believers who have gone before us. These events have been remembered and celebrated annually almost from the church's beginning. And we could be forgiven for assuming that unless the second coming intervenes, we will be celebrating another Holy Week at about this time next year. There's something inexorable about it, a sentiment that's really quite appropriate for the events we're celebrating. After all, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus was the culmination of God's plan for our salvation, a plan that certainly has an awesome and gracious inevitability about it. John's account of the Passion, which we will hear shortly, makes it quite clear that there is a divine necessity here. Jesus had to suffer, die, and rise again to accomplish his purpose. As he told Nicodemus, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The Son of Man would indeed be lifted up on the cross, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, in order to draw all people to himself. The fulfillment of God's promises for us. This is the message of John chapter 19. Jesus' trial before Pilate wasn't simply an unjust political farce meant to placate the Jewish leaders. You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above, Jesus reminded the Roman governor. So, too, the events of the crucifixion are not recorded to evoke our pity. Rather, John shows them to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. But notice the three events singled out: the soldiers gambling for Jesus' clothing, Jesus' word from the cross, "I thirst," and the fact that the soldiers pierced Jesus' side rather than breaking his legs. Taken by itself, each one of these events may seem incidental, no more than a sideshow to the cosmic drama being played out on the cross. Yet John fills them with theological significance. They fulfill the words of the Psalms, of Exodus, Numbers, and Zechariah. Down to the last detail, this death is seen to be God's doing. The Son of God, laying down his life on our behalf, only to take it up again gloriously on the third day. If gambling under the cross fulfills prophecy, can there be any doubt that this King of the Jews is the true King of Israel? If Jesus' words, "I thirst," show him to be the Messiah, can there be any doubt that our redemption was accomplished when he cried out, "It is finished"? If the pierced side and unbroken legs are a sign, can there be any doubt that this Jesus dead on the cross is Christ our Passover sacrificed for us? All of this for us and for our salvation. Can there be any doubt about God's love for us? Can there be any doubt that by faith we have been washed with the blood of the Lamb, our sins fully and freely forgiven? Listen once again with thankful hearts to what Christ did for you.